Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 633. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Zelda sucks. This is the worst game I've ever played. I can't imagine a worse possible game.
I didn't know we were joined by David Jaffe this week.
Does David Jaffe not like Zelda?
I don't care about David Jaffe. He always comes up on my timeline when he complains about stuff. It was more like he was saying that it's very bland and generic, I want to say, or something like that. Very boring, I think.
That's a weird... That is not... And I am... We've talked about this. I'm not, like, anticipating this at all. I've not been, like... I'm not hyped about it. I don't think bland and uninteresting is...
Those aren't the words that really match with this particular situation.
My favorite part about it, and I will drop this in the group chat, it's like one of those people, so like he quote unquote fixed it with AI, and it's like the most generic. I mean, it kind of looks like The Witcher. It looks like Witcher. This is how he would prefer it to look or something like that. I just dropped that in the channel.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of like the art style that it's going for. It's more like dreamy.
Yes. I mean, I think this is pretty much the evolution of, we'll talk about Zelda in a bit, but this is kind of the evolution of the Skyward Sword thing, which is like, it's kind of like that very painted, look.
Yeah.
And it works. I think it was they found an art style. Skyward Sword is very much like a middle ground between like, oh, we want to do Wind Waker, but nobody wants Wind Waker. And Twilight Princess was kind of hideous because you need the power for it. And they found something that works. For OSPEC consoles. Like they've had OSPEC consoles for the past, I don't even want to say generations at this point. I mean, it's almost been 20 years. With the Wii U and all this. So they found an art style that fits it, and I think it's an art style that's very, my biggest issue with it, and this is, I've had this conversation before with other things, it's like whenever people are like, oh, let me fix it, like, here's Mario, and here's how I want Mario, it's always like the most generic looking thing possible. It's like, oh, here's like some textures, and we're just going to make everything like super realistic looking and like muddy the colors a bit. And I'm like, so you want it to take like half the other games on the market.
Yeah. Like that, this image that you dropped into the chat, it's very much just like generic fantasy, right?
Yeah.
It's just like a dude with a sword on a hill.
This could be a Lord of the Rings game. Like that could be Legolas.
Right. Like that could be Legolas. You put Gollum in the corner. Like,
yeah. Like, this is, like, nothing here screams Zelda to me. Nothing, like, there's nothing distinct about this, and that's what always that bugs me. It's like, these people are always like, we're gonna do something. We're gonna do something groundbreaking. What's groundbreaking? We're just gonna do something that's really popular. Like, okay. But, yes, I think we're doing introductions. Sorry, David Jaffe just gets under my skin.
And Earl is here.
Earl hates David Jaffe.
He does hate David Jaffe. But he enjoys Stephen King apparently being a fan of the Flash. I don't know. It's been a very weird week on social media. So,
we're not sure where Jeff is. He told us he'd be here, and he's gone MIA. He did start drinking about 2 hours ago, so who knows?
Yeah, maybe. That is just weird because I mean, he was the one who was most excited for this episode.
Yeah, like, and I mean, this is since the beginning of the year. This is the week he's been waiting for. Like, he literally before the end of the show last week, like, jumped off to not go play because he still had to wait like an extra 5 minutes or so. But we'll get to Zelda shortly.
Before we get to anything, I just need to update you folks on something very important. As of this recording, 10:20 p.m. on what is today, May 18th, 2023.
Yes.
We are 6 days, 1 hour, 39 minutes, and 44 seconds away from the launch of Golem with his iconic emotes and phrases. If you pre-order now,
I have over the last 3 weeks, I have hyped myself up for this dumb game that I know nothing about other than there's a DLC pack with iconic gestures and sayings.
Yeah, I know my precious. I don't know what else you get.
But yeah.
This is also weird because this is a prequel, right? So that is a thing for a whole other.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely a prequel to The Hobbit, to The Lord of the Rings. Is this? I don't know if this is like the origin story of how he got the ring. I thought they showed that in the movie, like in that weird kind of like animated thing beforehand. Was it Return of the King where they showed it?
Yeah.
Like where he was just like a normal hobbit. And then he like murdered his friend because they found this ring. That doesn't seem like what this is. I don't know what. So yeah, my precious.
That is kind of all I got.
What would be the other? What would be the other iconic gestures and sayings that he has?
The only other thing I could think of is like that face he makes when he like scowls. That's an emote. I don't know. Hold on. I'm kind of curious to see if this explains anything.
If it breaks it down.
Yeah.
That's hysterical that's the pre-order bonus. Like normally you get like a costume or something, like, you know, you pre-order Star Wars. I think for the new Star Wars game, like you got it was like maybe like a Luke Skywalker costume or a Han Solo type, like kind of make you look like that, even though Cal doesn't. But like that's iconic, right? Like yes. You know who Han Solo is, you know who Luke Skywalker is.
I mean, just to kind of drive about this content, this pack includes 6 iconic emotes inspired by the character Golem, which can use to proclaim "my precious" and express a range of emotions in the game whenever you want. And I'm just like, the only one you can name is "my precious." And you need to fill out 5 more. And I'm like, okay. And again, 6 isn't even that much.
No. And like you wouldn't have that already in the game? Like,
well, I mean, can you pull that out? Yeah. You pulled it out for
this game's wild. I can't wait.
Oh my gosh. But yes, that was one piece of news. The other piece of news was from our good friends at Blizzard, who announced this week that they are, I don't know, there's no nice way to say this, that they basically sold you a load of crap with Overwatch 2 because the feature that they bigged up at reveal is the one that, like, oh, we're not doing anymore. So they announced that they're not going to be doing like a massive PvE campaign for Overwatch 2, which is what I think they originally sold.
Yeah, I thought that was the reason for Overwatch 2.
Yes.
So they just killed Overwatch, dropped a player off, because I think Overwatch was 6v6. And now you just have
5v5.
It's the same thing. It's 5v5, but with the same characters. Maybe a couple new, like they add characters over time, I think.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, it's one of those. I mean, I will say this much. As somebody who was a fan of Overwatch, I downloaded Overwatch 2 and I've not actually put any time into it. And I feel like, because there was a lot of confusion around the launch as to what characters you do and don't get. So I think it was also doing that thing where, because it's a free-to-play game now, like some of the characters were on the season pass or you'd have to, like, I'm not, it was weird. And now this, and it feels like they got rid of a base game that a lot of people enjoy to make a sequel that they don't have, that didn't have any identity other than like free to play is making money. So we need to somehow convert to that.
So, So there's not going to be any PvE content.
There's going to be some PvE content. It's going to be like, I guess, they did that. They do that now. They did that in Overwatch, where it'd be like one off, like not even like I don't even want to say campaign stuff, but like maybe like a seasonal mode around one of the characters where you get some of the backstory, and it would just be like you versus like a bunch of robots or something. So like that, not yeah. So it's not any. I mean, it's essentially kind of like a training ground, really. So yeah.
But not a traditional first person shooter. Yeah,
not the thing story based campaign.
Yeah. So I have no reason to return to Overwatch, I guess.
Yeah, it was also funny because, like, you know, it is the internet, so people are doing the internet thing. And somebody recut the Hunt Troy to show like everything that's going to be in Overwatch 2 now that this was announced. And it goes into like a 25-second trailer of just like people running around the map shooting stuff. So,
all right. Well, Overwatch 2 is just Overwatch 1, I guess, but with less content.
Who needs content?
Yeah. And Earl, they dropped the Mortal Kombat 1 trailer. You have it as Mortal 1 Kombat.
Mortal 1 Kombat. Thank you very much. That is what the logo says.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
If you put a number, it either needs to be in the foreground or the background. It cannot be in the middle of the words. That reads Mortal 1 Kombat.
Fair. Fair point. basically Mortal Kombat 12 though.
Yes. And it's very fascinating because it is a reboot of the franchise, but it's a reboot in the sense that Mortal Kombat 11 reset the time behind. So it is a continuation of the actual game, but that is now a reboot because that's what they did at the end of that game. And it's a very circular thing, but kudos to them for somehow, like, honestly speaking, they've made a really coherent universe out of what was really a disjointed, but I think we had this conversation last week, where a lot of old school fighting games was like, every character you beat would have their own ending that was for them.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to like pick one as a canonical ending. And very early on, they made it kind of like Yu Kang's story. So his was, I think, canonically the ending for like 1, 2, and 3. Then they killed him off in like 5. then that became a whole thing. But like since then, they've really made an effort to tell a story that is, I'm not going to say otaku because it's nonsensical, but it is coherent and it is sequential.
Yeah. And they're fun. Like they're stupid, but it's goofy fun. Like blockbuster movie type nonsense. That trailer was wild though. Cause I'm like, this is like, you know, they're showing all these characters that, you know, and it's all very kind of like serene. And then it just turns and there's blood spraying everywhere. It's like you kind of expect that for Mortal Kombat, but this trailer was like, seemed like, all right, I'm not really sure the vibe they're going for here. Oh, yep. They're not even doubling down. They're like tripling and quadrupling down on the gore at this point. I think at one point it was raining blood from one of the attacks that happens in it. It's hysterical.
I mean, if it's going to rain something, blood is a good choice, yeah, right? I mean,
I guess.
It's salty and delicious.
Yeah, that trailer was wild. I'd like to see that game actually in action.
Yes, I am most intrigued by it because there's a Switch version.
Oh.
Because it's Xbox X. It's PlayStation 5. It's skipping PS4 and Xbox One.
Which makes sense. Just
the Switch version. So I'm very curious to see. Because, yeah, I'm usually down with that. But, like,
is it one of Is it a cloud version,
that's,
though?
That's what I'm kind of curious about. Is it a cloud version? Is it an actual port of the... is it an actual, like, downgraded? But, like, I'm also, like, if you're going to port it to Switch, like, why not just do a PS5, the PS4 and Xbox One version? So who really knows? I am intrigued. Jokes aside, I also don't know the name. I understand why they're going for it to kind of say it's a reboot, but I really hate anything where it's just like that, or like a reboot that's just like, I mean, I guess it's better than just calling it Mortal Kombat. Like, now it's going to be like the first Mortal Kombat, not Mortal Kombat 1.
Right. It's like the Xbox One.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat Origins. Because that title hasn't appeared in enough games.
I think there is a Mortal Kombat Origins, though.
Oh, no.
For some reason, that rings in my head that there is...
I think it might be... you might be confusing it with the mythology? But I could be wrong.
That might be right. It might like be...
Because mythology was like their spin-off brand where they had like Sub-Zero and they had the Shaolin Monks. And I think there was that one... There's a Jax game on the PlayStation, I want to say.
Sure. Mortal Kombat Mythology is and there's also... There's Shaolin Monks... Special Forces, is that the Jax game?
Yes.
There was no Origins, though. Armageddon, Unchained, Deadly Alliance, Deception, Mortal Kombat, The Complete Edition, XXL, and 11. No Origins yet, though, Tony. So they
probably, soon enough.
Probably could have done that. I don't know. This kind of feels like the naming is just goofy. Like, because at some point they'll go back to it. It'll be Mortal Kombat 13 or 14 at some point. And it's the same with Halo. Like, Halo Infinite, why didn't you just call it Halo 6?
Yeah, I don't. Because it's going to go into that Modern Warfare thing where it's like, if there's a sequel, is it going to be Mortal Kombat 13 or is it like Mortal Kombat 2.1 or 1.2?
1.2. That would be great. Mortal Kombat 1 with 2, like Roman numerals 2.
Yes.
That's coming in September, I believe. So very, very soon. This has been a wild year for games. Lots of big stuff.
Yeah, very wild. Wild and crazy. Did you see that? Did any of you see that IGN editorial? I owe you chance that with like, Starfield is Microsoft's last chance to make an impact.
Oh my God.
Or something.
I did not. I see it right now. Starfield feels like Xbox last chance at redemption.
Yeah,
that seems like a stupid title.
I get what they're going for, but it's such a mixed bag because like I understand Alpha Redfall, but I mean not anymore, but it's still up there. Like Hi-Fi Rush was this year, and that's a really great game. I mean, as of now, it's still going to be on my list of game of the years. But yeah, I do. I mean, there is something to be said about like Microsoft needing to like really showcase what they're doing with the 50,000 studios they have acquired over the past few years. But like, yeah, they you know, big off the games, and we've also had a pandemic for like, I guess it's over now, so we can say 3 years, because it's officially over now. yeah.
It is weird for them to kind of poke at this that like, all right, like last year was terrible for Xbox releases. Like, nobody would dispute that. But yeah, like Xbox has, they're, you know, the Hi-Fi Rush came out. Redfall, like I don't understand the importance people are putting on Redfall. Like, was it ever seen as like a big game?
I think it was because it was announced at it was announced that one of their shows is like this big. So they announced like, but I think part of it is also just like the studio, because Arcanine is, I mean, we may not necessarily agree with the general consensus on them being like this amazing studio, but you know, people have high regards for like Dishonored 1 and 2 and Prey. And I mean, I don't think neither one of you liked it as much, but Deathloop had a decent reception last year or the year before.
It seems like they're like, so this is what I've gotten from other, you know, listening to other podcasts on this. Their games don't sell well, though. Like, they're critical darlings. And probably in like our, like the people we kind of like interact with, like they seem like a bigger, but like Dishonored 2 did not sell very well. I don't know how Deathloop sold. And Prey didn't sell particularly well either. So they're not like,
but I mean, I guess, yes, that is fair. But I mean, I guess, for, again, the argument isn't necessarily the sales, because this is a Game Pass, and that's going to affect that in general. It's that it's not necessarily, like, the people who paid it enjoyed it, and I don't necessarily feel the same thing as being said about, I mean, the worst thing you can say about Redfall, good game and glitches or whatever aside, is that the game is, like, 2 weeks old and nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, it's forgettable. Like,
yes.
I'm like currently trying to write a review for it, and like, it's forgettable. It's hard to remember everything that happened for a game I finished like a week and a half ago, and that's not great. It's a very short article too. I don't know. But we're also like, you know, You look at 2021, Xbox was, didn't they win like Publisher of the Year at the Game Awards? And
that's the Game Award. I never remember what the
Game Award was like. Somewhere they won Publisher of the Year, or they were Metacritic's highest rated publisher of that year. Something along those lines. And I think I remember early on in the, you know, that year, even, you know, Tony and I with PlayStation were like, what is there to play? Like, all right, Ratchet came out. That's cool. But like, what else? And it wasn't until last year when they started, you know, finally delivering stuff. And now we're in a dead period again, for them.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, this is an old conversation to rehash or whatever, but it came up again. It comes up constantly. It's like everybody, I mean, we're getting to the point where, I mean, no matter who you are, big mega publishers or whatever, you just cannot pump out the volume of games that you did 5 years ago, let alone 10, 15, 20 years ago. Like, you know, like, we will talk about Zelda in a second, but Zelda is kind of it for Nintendo until Pikmin in July or August, and then we don't know anything else for the rest of the year. The only other game they've had this year, I think, was a remake of the Kirby game, a remake of Advance Wars,
and Metroid remake remaster of Metroid.
Of Metroid Prime, yes.
Which has evidently been done for years.
Yeah. And Advance Wars, too. I mean, Advance Wars was supposed to come out as April.
Yes.
So yeah, that is, like, yes, we are, I mean, it's a transition, but like, yeah, we are at the point where you aren't getting developers putting out, like, you know, like, I mean, that's not even, like, the NES, Super Nintendo, or different beasts, where you get a company put out 5, 6, 7 games in a year. Like, you go back to some of these years, and, like 86, 87 have, like, fantastic, they'd be, like, Metroid, Castlevania, Zelda, Kirby, like, all these games, no problem. Now it's like, those are like once, twice in a generation titles. I mean, like, we got news this week that Ubisoft is putting, what, 40% more people on Assassin's Creed? Which doesn't mean there's going to be more Assassin's Creed games, It's just mean they're going to be bigger in scope.
Eh. Right.
So, yeah, it is what it is. But, so and yeah.
I've only skimmed this article now, but it's like, here's, this one is kind of jumps out at me. It's like, Xbox had enough of this, is the last paragraph in the thing in the article. Xbox had enough involvement with Redfall to have the team ditch the PS5 version, which makes full sense. Like, you are now part of Microsoft. We're not making games for
your competitor.
Our competitor. Right. Like, you're not under contract. Don't do that. But not enough to prevent it launching in a beta state. Fair. I think that's fair. I mean, there's stuff there with how Bethesda and Xbox are managed, but yes, like, that's 100% on Xbox. Like, it is an Xbox under their umbrella. It should not have launched as it did. This is where, like, catches me. The last big hit for the Xbox ecosystem was in November of 2021 when Forza Horizon 5 released. Like, so after that, like, Halo, which won Game of the Year awards from people, like, we could say, like, whatever about the live service version of that game, but that game was very well regarded when it released. The issues with it didn't appear until later in the next year when the content didn't show for the live service version. And Hi-Fi Rush just released in January, which all of critical, like, IGN, GameSpot, Giant Bomb, Waypoint, Kotaku, were all talking about this is an early front runner for Game of the Year. So, like, are we just excluding that existed?
I think it's one of those things, and you see it time and time again. I mean, with all companies, where there are those giant, ginormous, like, tempo releases, and that's kind of how you define. It's, you know, like, we had this conversation with Jeff.
Don't disagree, right? Like, the tempo of the releases has been staggeringly awful.
But not the tempo, but, like, you've had those, but, like, yes, you have, because, like, we had this conversation a few weeks ago when Jeff wanted to do the Nintendo tier franchises, and it's like, ARMS doesn't count, Ring Fit doesn't count, this doesn't count, that doesn't count. I mean, like, you can go back to Microsoft, like, I'm sure people don't count certain Kinect games, because those aren't the quote-unquote core games. Those aren't the games that move people. And it's like, yeah, Hi-Fi Rush is a great game, but, you know, it was stealth released. It didn't have a ton of hype. I hate the notion. I understand why people like hype, and we'll get to it in a bit with Zelda again, but it's like one of those things where it's like, because Microsoft did not give this, like, a six-month marketing push, a CNS yes or then. Where it's like, it came out, it was a fantastic experience. I think people who played it had a ton of fun with it. But, like, you know, no, they shouldn't have done this, that, and the third, or whatever.
And these comments are exactly what this article was designed to do.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and it is what it is. It drives, you know, I found it on a forum where people were getting upset, and it's like, you know, rinse and repeat. You go through this. I mean, everybody has it. You know, like, we've had articles about, like, how Nintendo needs a successor for the Switch for the past, like, 5 years now. We'll have stuff about, like, you know, the ones in Sony, like, PlayStation sales in Japan, but no software selling. What's the issue there? Like, everybody has, like, the angle they work on, and that's what gets pushed.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's true. Like, I'm not saying that, like, you sit there and ignore it, but some of it gets because you just have to keep on. You need content. We're a very content-driven, not industry, but, like, world. Like, you need content, and the best content is the one that enrages people, because that's the one people then share out to their friends for them to get angry with you as well.
All right, well, that's that crazy article, I guess. Is there any other news that you guys saw? Nothing.
Yes, okay. Not news. I mean, it's news about news. Mm. But the PlayStation Showcase is next Wednesday.
Yes, so the launch of not E3
mm-hmm.
kicks off before Memorial Day.
Yes. So, I mean, good for them. They have that week to themselves. They'll, like you said, it's a long weekend. So you get to dominate going into that. I think they said it's over an hour. So this should be their big one. I mean, everybody and their mother has rumors about what's going to be showcased there, but it seems like it's going to be the big one. Yeah. I'm excited.
Very, very strong. If the rumors are true, it's a very strong lineup.
Yes. Smaller news. But Nintendo just announced that I hate these names so much. Super Mario Advance 1, 2, and 3 are coming to the Nintendo Switch eShop next week. And just because I need you folks to understand my pain with this, Super Mario Advance 1 is Super Mario Brothers 2. Super Mario Advance 2 is Super Mario World. Super Mario Advance 3 is Yoshi's Island. So, just so we're clear, 1 is 2, 2 is 4, 3 is 5, and then I think it's on there already, 3 is 4. It is the worst numbering system in the world. I hate it. I hate it. I've always hated it. I think mostly in particular with Super Mario Brothers. I think Super Mario, the first one works, is I think they just call it Super Mario Advance. They don't call it Super Mario Brothers Advance, Super Mario Brothers 2.
Right, like the Super Mario Advance 2 is literally called Super Mario World, Super Mario Advance 2.
Yes, and then it's Super Mario Advance 4, Super Mario Brothers 3.
That is the worst one.
And that is the one that has always driven me nuts. It's been like 20 years, and I'm not over that. I am not over that.
Is there anything special about these versions?
I think they added additional bonuses and challenges. And I know these are the ones that I think add the really weird voice clips for the games.
Might be worth playing.
We will see. There was one more piece of news.
Is that hitting the eShop or is that hitting Nintendo?
Oh, the online? Nintendo Switch Online. Yeah.
Part of the GBA
expansion
app.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I think this is Embrace. I could be wrong. Are working on a Lord of the Rings MMO?
Amazon.
But yeah, I thought they were working with somebody, but yes, because this worked the last time so well. We're going to do it again. Because that was done like 2 years ago, right?
The last one that Amazon did?
No, wasn't there Lord of the Rings MMO already?
There's one that's been running for years.
Oh, okay, it's still up and running.
Yeah, it's I'm trying to think. I mean, it's just called Lord of the Rings. But yeah, it's been out there for a while.
This one may affect Chris. I don't know if you played or not. But Pac-Man 99 is being delisted at the end in October.
That's a shame. I have not played recently, but it's part of the problem with digital only games, and also, I mean, that's an online multiplayer game. Although you could play, like, there was like a practice mode that like you'd play against like computer AI. That's a shame that that's being delisted and you won't be able to play it anymore. Good game. Did I lose everybody?
No, we're still here.
Oh, okay. Did we lose Earl?
Earl ran away.
There.
My dog needed some attention. So.
No, that's okay. I just like you were in the middle of talking.
Yeah, so then he gets very needy in his old age. Yes, I'm talking about you. Don't look at me that way.
Let's see. Lord of the Rings MMO though. It's Lord of the Rings Online is what it's called.
Oh, okay, yes.
And that's been around for a while.
guess we got another one. So good on them.
Yeah. Actually, I guess that has been around for a long while. 2007 is when that launched.
Wow, that is okay. So maybe it does need an upgrade. I mean, I assume at this point Amazon's like, we spent so much money on this, we have to get something worth out of it.
Yeah.
It's not like the Rings of Power was the hit date they needed it to be, but
They are doing a second season of that, I heard, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they commissioned two seasons when they did it.
Got it.
But I think I read somewhere that it was like 30% of the people who started it finished it.
Oh, God. I enjoyed it. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't finish it, but I don't have... It's weird. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But I had friends who are huge Lord of the Rings fans, and they just would complain. Like, it started off really strongly, apparently. And then a lot of people just started complaining because it was essentially like the middle portion of the series was just like the same thing over and over again, which didn't feel like it was progressing until the very end of the season.
That's fair.
But and from what I gathered near the end, it's like everything then happened at the end. I mean, really, from what I gathered, from what I've seen, I think I saw like the first 5 or 6, is that there was just, I mean, it kind of went for the Game of Thrones thing, I don't think as well, but it's just so many different stories that like it just felt like very little was happened in anywhere.
That's kind of how I felt about House of the Dragon.
That is also kind of House of the Dragon's problem for me more so was that like things would then happen and then they would skip over the fallout and then it's like 5 years later and it's like then you have to fill in the gap and it's like wait no but you just oh, okay whatever.
Yes. All right, well that's news. We will talk about Zelda. Does not look like we will have Jeff with us. But before we do, yeah. Zelda, have you guys heard of a game called Humanity?
I mean, I have Humanity every day.
This is the game about like the dawn of time and raising the human race from nothing. According to somebody's view, I think I have it. I've just never played it.
So... This one just, I think that's Humankind, I think. Maybe. I mean, if you might have it if you have PlayStation Plus. Like, it just released. It is by Enhanced Games, the people who did Tetris Effect.
Oh. And
I'm not really sure what the, there is a story. You play as a dog. And except you're like this white glowy dog and you have the power of like commanding people that are just, they walk straight and you can tell them where to walk. So you can tell them to turn right or to jump or jump really high. Like you get powers as you move on. And there's these puzzles that are designed, and you have to get the mass of people to walk to the light. So basically, you're guiding them to heaven, I guess. And it played like I heard somebody describe it as Lemmings.
Oh God!
Because like you know, Lemmings are just like they're just walking off, and like you're trying to corral them and get them to a spot. It's kind of what this is, except like you're. It's giant puzzles on this board and you're trying to maneuver a never ending mass of people. And part of that is also there's these, what they call Goldies. And they're like big human shaped people, that are gold. And you want to get them specifically to the end point. And you need enough of these Goldies to advance to the next level or whatever. Anyway, it's like the puzzles are really neat. So like you're basically programming a path. So like the map starts, the people come out of the door, and they just keep walking forward. And like there may be a cliff there, and they'll just keep walking off the cliff. Like it doesn't hurt them. Nothing happens. Don't worry about it. They give some story-based reason of like, don't worry, like they're falling, but they'll eventually come back through the door. So I don't know. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, like I wasn't particularly worried. I'm glad.
Right. Like this isn't that what that is. Like you're not giving, they have no personality. They're just objects that are going forward and off a cliff. And you then take your little dog and you run around and you know, you can select from your different command options. So like if they're walking forward and you need them to turn right, you bark and press to the right. And when they get to that point, they'll then shift and go right. So you're now programming a path to get them to the light image. And like the first couple levels are pretty easy. Like they're just, you know, make a right turn, make a left turn, you're in the thing. They start getting really complicated where you're now having to jump giant chasms, have them climb up, grab the gold guy, and then kind of double back. There's like touch plates that you need to have activated, so you need them constantly being walked over so other platforms are staying solid. It's like really cool in you're programming this path to get everybody there. And in doing so, you want to get the three, well, however many gold guys, the one gold guy, two, three. I think the most I've seen on a map so far has been three. You want to get them to it before too many people reach the end, because once they reach there, it goes, hey, you've completed the level. And if they're not already on the path to walk towards that, then you'll fail. Like if you need those gold guys. It's a cool little puzzle game. It's $30 on PlayStation right now. It's a part of PlayStation Plus Extra, though. I don't know what tier that is. I don't know if that's like the middle tier or the high tier. It's on PlayStation. If you're looking for like a cool puzzle game, this may work for you. From what I've seen of the trophies, at some point, you're going to be commanding these people to do, like, to fight. It's like one of the sequences, it's like a series of levels, is called War. And there's a trophy for arming your humans. So,
humans.
This could go places.
I like a lot of the words that you've been using.
It's neat. It's yeah. Really neat. I don't know if I'm describing it well, but it's really cool to like, and I'll send you guys a clip that I took, but I had guys, they're walking across, they're floating down because they got this float power, which gives them like lighter gravity. They're going across this touch plate. I'm circling them back. They're then climbing up onto the next platform. They're jumping across, circling back, going on a fan, coming back over. So you just have like these arches of people flying in the air until they finally get to the door that you need them to get to. It looked really cool. It's like, and you feel like, oh, that's neat. Like, I accomplished something here. Like I've done this. Like, cause you have to think through, and there's not one solution. I'm sure there's a preferred solution. I'm sure people are doing it in like four or five moves where I have like 20 different program moves in, but it's pretty cool. Give it a go. If you have one of those upper PlayStation Plus tiers.
Which one?
Extra. I'm looking at it. It says play included with PlayStation Plus Extra. I don't know what tier that is though. So I have it. So it's not the standard PlayStation Plus. But I don't know if that's essential, extra, extreme. I don't know. Their shit is so stupid. Just give one subscription. All right. Did you guys play anything else besides Zelda?
No.
Chris, you're going to have to clear off the bandage.
All right.
I mean, on the bright side, it's just Tony and I. Jeff is in here, so I assume the talk will be a lot more grounded than what could have been expected, maybe.
Well, I'm slightly upset because, like, Jeff's unbridled enthusiasm for this game it's nice. Like, even if it's not something that, like, maybe clicks for me, although maybe what you guys tell me may change my mind. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom came out. Earl, you've been playing it. Tony, you've been playing it. And it seems both of you seem to like it.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me why this is better than Breath of the Wild, or what's different from Breath of the Wild.
Go ahead, Earl, but I
was going to say, there's reasons. The one thing I will say that I think, and I could be wrong, I think one of the issues you had with Breath of the Wild, and I kind of had similar misgivings with it, this is an open world experience, but I think they do a much better job of funneling you in the correct direction. Like, much like Breath of the Wild, you could do any of the divine beasts in any order you wanted to, and you could do that here as well. But the game really, really, really does encourage you to do stuff in a certain order.
Yes.
It doesn't force you to do it, but it's very much like, hey, you should go check out this thing in the Northwest. Yeah.
You like talk to like 12 different people and they all tell you to go in the same direction to the same place. It's like, that place is really exciting. You should go up there and see what's going on. And it's a whole lot of like, but it doesn't force you, but it kind of like hints. And I like, there are a large number of areas where you could do whatever you want to get across this chasm or whatever, but you'll talk to somebody and it'll be like, you know, the bridge is out, but... and then they'll start telling some random story about throwing a pine cone in fire and how it like caused an updraft. And you're like, oh, that's what I should do. And there's a whole lot of guidance in that kind of way. Like, you can be creative in the game, and we'll talk about this more later, and do whatever you want, but it definitely suggests what to do and where to go.
It signposts a little better than
Breath of the Wild. And again, you can do whatever you want, because I mean, you will have very different experiences. Because like, I had friends who were like, "Oh, I didn't get the glider yet. I don't know when do I get the glider." And I'm like, the game literally tells you, once you get off the Skull Islands, go check out this place, talk to this person. They're like, "Oh no, I did my own thing." I'm like, yes, but the game tells you to go do this thing. And what it does so well to me is like, it tells you to go do that thing. And then along the way, it's the same thing with Breath of the Wild. You'll find stuff to do. But that stuff is also like, oh, yes, while you're doing this other stuff, you might run across this. And it's like, yes, it's on the way. How coincidinky. Because it's like, it's busier than Breath of the Wild. Because I think one of the complaints people have with Breath of the Wild is like, Breath of the Wild is a very... not necessarily empty open world, but like, there's not a lot of towns or other NPCs to interact with. This is a bit more like, you have what I consider a central hub. It's kind of where I always go, because this is also another thing that I find handy, is that like, the central hub has like, you don't get everything there, but you can do a lot of stuff there.
There's a place to cook. There's a statue to pray at. There's a place to buy arrows and like little things that you would need.
Yes. And then when you find him, at least for now, Hestia relocates there after you find him out in the wild for a bit. Some of the people you meet out, you know, like the people you upgrade. Because you also find, I don't know if Tony found this, there's also like a basement demon, that's what they call it, statue. And you go to him and you can pay him to respect you. So you can like give him, 100 rupees to get rid of a hard piece to transfer that to stamina or whatever. I'm like, oh, that's also really nifty to have. And again, there's a lore reason for it. They tie it into it. But I like that, like, you know what? I feel like so much of this, again, Breath of the Wild is considered by many to be one of the greatest games of all time. I don't think the three of us share that opinion. I think I think of it higher than you two do. But It's not my favorite Zelda game, but I feel like they took a lot of the complaints that people had with Breath of the Wild, and they were like, how can we incorporate that but still have a very, very flexible system? I think a good example, I think Tony might have had a similar reaction to me, is like, we start off on the Sky Islands, and the Sky Islands, you kind of go through three different shrines and whatever. The last shrine, a lot of people had issues with, like, how do you get it? Because it's like, it's on an icy peak, and like, you can't climb up the ice. So like, some people, like, everybody's like, oh, you know, like, you do this, you do that. Some people, I guess there's like a small patch of land you can actually climb up. I used the Ultra Hand to create like an odd wooden bridge that I can then drop on the side and climb up that.
That's what I did.
Yeah, and everybody's had like different solutions to that. Like, I don't know if either one of you watched Taskmaster, but the game very much of that, where it is like, the game sometimes is very subtle, but it's like, oh, this is a bunch of surprises around here. What am I supposed to do? But it's like, oh, there's a bunch of cracks here. I can probably roll the bridge. But it's also like, that's not what you need to do. But like, this is a solution here. But we will let you figure it out. And I think it does a much better job of like, I think because of the Ultra Hand. Honestly, that's probably my most used ability.
Oh, it's great. I love it. I love it to death. Like, that makes the game for me. Like, it just, every avenue of creativity opens up. And you're like, in weird situations, you're like, what can I do? And you end up making this weird bridge or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, it doesn't even have to be great. Like, I mean, like, yes, we'll see. You see on social media that everybody has a second degree engineer that I didn't know about. Like, people are building giant robots. People are building like weird like spider tank thingies. We saw flying death traps. I'm like, you know what? Give me a hot air balloon, a grate, a heat source. I'll figure something out from there. But yes, there's a ton of flexibility in regards to that and what they give you. And I think one of the things that it does better than Breath of the Wild, I think, is like in regards to that, like Breath of the Wild is very like, there's a lot of scarce resources. But here, you can actually just, like, if you defeat the Zonai, which are, like, the robot creatures of this game, they drop pieces. You can find those gacha machines and put, like, I have a stockpile of, like, fans, hot air balloons, just in case. Most of the time, there's a lot of resources around you, but just in case I need something, you have a, you can have a stockpile of that as well. Just to build something, or if you need an extra piece. I have not gotten it. I've heard a lot of people talk about it. I'm going to go down to Chisholm tomorrow. I hate the Chisholm so much. We'll get to that in a second. I don't hate it, but it's my anxiety. I don't like not seeing what's in front of me. And I don't well,
you
have get, to
you actually... throw the little seeds. You throw I the do, seeds, but, you get like, the I'm... light plant, and
my fear is always like, I'm going to do it, and I've done it once where I've done it, and because you do it, it triggers an enemy nearby. And the groom hands, oh my gosh, I still do not like those things. Though I hit a knot in the chat, chasm. I could be wrong. I've already run into them above ground so far.
Oh yeah, I don't know how to get away from those. Like, unless you have a horse, I guess. But they run faster than you do and they grab you and you're screwed.
The only way I know, the only ones I've defeated was I got high ground on them. They don't climb up surfaces.
As oh. Well.
And because they're also hard to defeat because you need fire or bombs, I think. Because, yes, to your point, you can't really attack them because, like, that groom, like, I guess like, groom is, like, that weird red substance you see in the trolls and stuff like that. And the gimmick with groom is that, like, when he gets in it, any damage he takes is permanently decreased from his health underground. And it's permanently decreased while you're on the effects of groom. Once you either defeat it or you get to the surface or you get the light bulbs in the chasm, it restores it back to its native state. But it's kind of like when it's like the old
you can get you can cook things though that also restore it.
Yes, but you need to, yeah, I haven't got any, but yes, I've heard about that too. But yeah, yes, if you were like to eat food and you had like three purple hearts, like the purple hearts won't refill. And again, it's nice enough to tell you that when you try to eat something. So it does make some of the encounters in the underground a bit more tense, because it's like, you don't want to take damage. And yeah. I will say, one of my early complaints with the game, though it does, is I get it, but I feel like the game does not do a good job of reintroducing you to combat from the first game.
The shrine, like, I feel like the shrines that taught you the combat in the first game were all really, like, you couldn't help but run into them at the beginning.
Yes.
Here they're not, they're in the wrong direction. Like, all the combat shrines are like, the game drives you to the northwest to start
but
off.
They're
all the combat shrines are like to the southeast. So, like, I started, like, because I needed more peppers because the wind temple is cold.
Yes. Yes.
So I was like roaming around, because they grow in Hyrule Field, and I was like roaming around in the opposite direction, and I start, like, oh look, it's a shrine, I'll go in, and it's like object throwing tutorial. I'm like, what the fuck? I've been playing this game for 10 hours. How am I?
Yes, it's stuff like that, or I always forget about the Fury Rush. Like, I know it's in there, and I knew how to. I did find that temple eventually, and it's like, yes, okay. Because again, one of the weird things with controls these for me is X and B being on opposite ends of the controller, but they're both run and jump, and you tend to want to have those together because there's no good way to press them. But that, and then I knew it was in the game. I just could not remember the button combination to do like swords, the shield surfing.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it either.
It's like you hold out the shield and you press. Then you jump and then you press A while in the air. Ooh. But when you do it, the game's like, oh, here's a tutorial. I'm like, I've already done it. Why are you telling me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Found that, like, there that dark section in the beginning where you need to throw the seeds. Like, I didn't know how to throw anything at that point. I just kind of, like, wandered through the dark until I got to the other side.
Oh, okay. I do think they tell you how to put it on the arrows. I mean, that's what I'm doing. I put them on the arrows to go for. Because, I mean, at this point, I mean, maybe I've been playing them wrong. I have way too many arrows. I think I'm almost at 150.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think the arrows are my favorite part. You're like Hawkeye. You're like, I'm going to pull out this arrow, and I'm going to put this awesome thing on it that's going to do this really cool stuff, like freeze the enemy or light them on fire or explode or whatever. Like, that is my favorite part of the game. It's like,
that is my
green arrow, trick arrows.
Yeah. That's right. And it's like every object you could possibly imagine can go onto an arrow. So you're like, oh, I found this horn from this enemy. Now my arrow does extra damage. Or I found a bomb flower. Now my arrow will blow up everybody. It's just
or my favorite, really, because of the stupid giant enemies, is the one that like you put
the homing arrow. On.
Yes,
yeah.
And I will say, I also like it for the weapons. I wish the weapons were as easy to do as it is to do the arrows.
Yes, the fusing is hard to do. Like the arrows you do in the middle of combat, the fusing you really want to do outside of combat, which makes it a little less useful.
Yes. But like, there's some, because again, in my head, like, you think, like, and you've seen a lot of people talk about this on social media or whatever. Because in my head, I'm like, okay, like, I assume there's like set combinations that work. It's like, no, if you can fuse it, it will probably work. And it works in some really weird and funky ways. Like, there's one, I have a shield that I think I accidentally fused. But it's accidentally fused with like a spring or something. It's like when enemies hit me, it just knocks them back because there's a spring on it. And I'm like, that wasn't even my idea behind it, but I'm happy it works there. Then there's other times like I fuse a explosive barrel to my sword.
Oh no.
Yes. Terrible idea. Because it works. But that blast radius is very big.
Yeah.
You have to be super close to attack with a sword.
Maybe you should have thrown your sword at them.
Yes. That was the other thing. I didn't realize you could do that as well. You can add a bow and arrow to a weapon. I don't think it throws it, but it just adds damage. I'm like, okay. Because like, I think I've upgraded it now. Like, I think sort of with weapons, you get like 6 weapons and I think like 3 bows or something, 3 or 4 bows and then like 3 shields. But I'm like, oh, I can do this now. I can add Yeah, I like the fact, I mean, sometimes it's kind of messed up because I did that with one of the skeletons. I took the arm and added something to it to beat the crap out of them with it. Like, it is what it, the arm is actually pretty damn strong.
I mean, I like the arm. My favorite one, I attached a fan to a stick. And if you're fighting in the sky or near the edge of a cliff, you don't even have to hit them. You just swing it and it blows them backwards and you just blow them off the edge of the cliff.
Then you can't get the which stuff.
What? Well, I know, but it also, but on the flip side, that weapon doesn't break unless you hit stuff with it.
Oh, right. And I mean, some of it, I do think after, because they understood that. So some of it uses like the Zonai.
Yeah,
energy meter, because like I had one of my favorite weapons is anything that shoots fire, and I had like the fan emitted in bat and just like swing it around and set everything on fire. I think the funniest and the stupidest one is always when you add a stick to a stick and it just makes it longer stick.
Yeah,
that's,
hey, you got get some good reach there.
Yeah,
it does no damage, but
I think the one that a lot of people will end up doing because you need it often is like the like a boulder to something to break rocks and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and any of the elementals is really fun. And again, like a lot of this stuff I found so far is just plentiful. Like again, because you can fuse with anything, and I think, and I could be wrong, I think if you fuse something, it increases durability. So like sometimes if I have a weapon that's like near its endpoint, I'll just fuse it. You can only fuse. Not that you can only fuse one, but you can only fuse it to one thing at a time.
Yes.
So, like, if it has fire, like you'd have to get rid of the fire head and then fuse it to something else. But
well, that is part of the cool part, too. You fuse two weapons together, it breaks, but a lot of times it only breaks one of the weapons. So you still have the other one left.
Hmm. Because most of the time, I did not try that yet. I will look into that. But yeah,
I mean, it really depends on what, like the stick to the larger stick, or like I attached a sword to a stick and the sword broke and the stick was fine.
Yeah. I did not think about a stick and a sword, or like a club and a spear or something like that.
Another one I really like is a lot of the, I don't even know what to call them, the moblin like bases.
Yeah.
They have that giant, like spiked iron ball that they roll at you.
Yes.
And like, then, oh, what an awesome club I have now. Thank you.
Yes. And I mean, we talk about fusing Ultra Hand. Not it does not come as often, but it was really fun because you can also use recall. And like, if people throw stuff at you, you could just recall it and send it back to them. It's like I was fighting one of the big dudes at the camp and he kept on throwing boulders at me. So I'm like, I'm just going to sit here. And I could fight him normally. But I'm like, I'm just going to sit here and throw this boulder back to you every time you throw it to me. And it just slipped away at his damage every so often. Very dumb. But I'm like, yes, I enjoy that. And again, like that's just combat. Again, you use it in a lot of ways for traversal. I was on my way to Rito, which is like the first town they tell you to go to, and I found a dude in a ditch, and he's like, oh, I'm down here in a ditch with my wagon. I need to get out with my wagon and my and myself. And I'm just like, okay. So like I try to, like, you can put him in there, and I tried to grab it, but it's too far for you to grab. So like I traced it up, put it down, recalled it, climbed up, and then grabbed it out of the midair. But then it also had like a hot air balloon and fans just to make sure it got enough elevation. I'm like, yes, these are really these dumb creations that you can make. They're so fun. And it's like you find like the most random parts that they, again, I think they do a good job of introducing. Like the one, I don't know if you went to the baseball shrine yet, where it's like you have to put the spike into this thing and then hit it. And as you hit it, it kind of swings around and knocks the ball off. I'm like, again, really careful puzzle. And it's like, I would never think of using it that way. I'm like, but there, you introduce it in a shrine. It's something I can now take out into the real world and use. And I guess going back to the other point about them forcing you in there, not forcing you, because you can do whatever you want.
Right. Strongly suggesting.
So you've been one, and I will say, I don't think the temple itself is that great. Because it was just like go around and hit these five switches. But yeah. The trek to get to that dungeon was
that was a big bitch.
It was a ton of fun. And I like that, again, it was a great use of like, your powers. Yeah. I mean, mostly your glider.
I don't have the glider, by the way.
Oh, you did not?
Oh, wait, no, I have the glider. What am I talking about? Don't listen to me.
Yes, episode the same. I mean, it's possible. People are like, oh, so tell me, did you get the glider? Like, what? I mean, I will say it's, but yes, you get the glider. And it's I honestly don't know how you do that part without the glider.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how you'd get across.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd get across. Not only across, but like even the boss fight. How would you do that?
Cube guy?
Huh?
The cube guy?
No, the ice dragon.
Oh, I haven't gotten to the ice dragon.
Oh, yet. I thought you finished.
I am at the wind temple. I have 4 of the 5 locks done. I'm on the last lock right now.
Okay, so spoilers. I really enjoyed that boss encounter. Because I think Breath of the Wild boss encounters is like it's a different form of Ganon or elemental form of Calamity Ganon. It's like this one's like an actual like Zelda boss. And it's really funny too because you don't actually fight it. In the sense that you don't actually engage in combat. You basically, I mean, it's more of a Mario boss. You jump in it several times.
Oh, God. At
this point, but it's when you see it, it's a really, and I think Jeff went on about it. It's a really fun boss encounter.
Why? I have no idea why he's convinced that I can't beat the first boss. I don't really understand.
I don't think that he doesn't think you can't beat it. I think he thought you'd quit before you got it.
Yeah, I think he's confused about the reasons I don't like Elden Ring. I think that's what it is. He's like, oh, the combat's going to drive you away. I'm like, my problem with Elden Ring isn't the combat. I mean, the combat in Zelda is probably worse than the combat in Elden Ring, frankly.
I do enjoy it. I mean, I'm calling a spade a spade. I enjoy the franchise. Combat is never, like, I mean, honestly.
It's not about combat. It is the weakest part of the experience.
It's not the draw of the Legend of Zelda, though.
It's never been the draw of the franchise.
Right. Like, it's like open world exploration and puzzle solving. Those things are fun.
Yes. And again, I don't know if this solves any of your issues, but I just want to point out another quality of life adjustment that I really enjoy is recipes. If you made something before you have the ingredients, it's just like, do you want to use this in a recipe? Yes.
You just pick one of the ingredients and you're like, oh, I want
to
cook.
Oh, so you don't have to like grab your steak and your peppers and it was so annoying. Like I'm currently trying to play through Breath of the Wild right now, and it's so annoying to cook anything in that game.
Yes. And the first time you have to like cook something to get the recipe.
Yeah,
well, I think people can give you recipes, but like you pick a pepper and it's like here's like 16 dishes you can make with the pepper. Which one do you want to make? That looks good. Here's all the ingredients. Throw it in the pot. I'm like, yes, thank you. I don't want to be here sorting through like, okay, I need 2 meats, 3 mushrooms. It's like, no, here you go. And it tells you what it does. It tells you what your results will be. I'm like, okay. Like, you know, like Tony said, like that I had to go back. I fast traveled because I did not. I had on my cold resistant pants and it was like, oh, no, it's too cold for that. So I went back into town, cooked up a bunch of like cinnamon pepper meals so that I could bring them up because I think they're like 12 minutes and 30 seconds or something like that.
Yep. 12:30.
And I'm like, yes, I'm going to have a bunch of these because it sucks because like indoors is fine. If you're inside the ship, you're fine. But like you have to go in and around it. So I'm like, if I'm inside, I'm wasting the pepper time. But I'm like, whatever. But yes. And then you'll need it for the boss as well because it's also freezing cold there too.
Is it a long fight? Like, do I need a bunch of them?
No, I think one is fine.
Okay.
But yes. So that was the other quality of life adjustment I think that I think the biggest ones really for me and why I'm enjoying this more than Breath of the Wild so far is one, it does give you a sense of direction. And I enjoy, I know people enjoy open worlds and stuff like that, but I like that the game encourages you, let's say that, to go off in certain directions and do certain stuff in a certain order. Again, don't need to. Like, I'm sure there's people who are going to rush to the boss.
Right. Just suggest, like, hey, we think, you know, we think you should go this way. Do whatever you want. Like, and that's part of my problem with Breath of the Wild is, like, you know, you meet the king early on and you kind of do the tutorial plateau. And then you get down and it's like, go to Kakariko Village. And you meet Impa and she's like, go to this other village. And then once you get there, they're like, all right, we're throwing four icons on the map.
Yeah.
Go.
And they do the same exact thing here, but they then say, oh, but we heard Zelda sightings were there. You should probably go check that out. And again, like, you take that route and a lot of characters will say, and they also give you a lot of hints that it's a cold area. Like, we can't get food over because of the snow. You know, like, if you want, or like, there's one house nearby where it's like, oh, you know, we don't have much, but here's like 4 peppers for you or something like that. When you go, oh, so you haven't played the game, and Tony's here now too. So what they do now for like the dungeons or the dungeon traversal, I guess, is you get a side character with you, a companion, and they have a special power. So like the Rito one has a wind power, so they have a gust of wind, which is what we're talking about. So you use the glider, and it will send you further. On it, and then like it's not a long range, but it sends you first, and then you kind of use it to navigate platforms to get up to the Wind Temple. This will be a spoiler, I guess. Once you defeat it, you then get that, you get access to that power. So, like, it's like, so now I have the ability to summon the wind while I'm in the air. I don't know if it's the only time I have it, but I can use that ability with the person. Like a ghost version of them or something. But it looks like you don't have... I'm assuming it's a Zelda game. You have, there's 4 dungeons. I'm assuming you get 4 of them. You can only have 1 active at a time. And you have to go through the menus to activate or deactivate them. And it's weird because it's not... You get the circle wheel, and it's not one of the options on that yet, I don't think. I'm assuming the last option I don't have is the auto build. Which is... I don't think you have it either, Tony.
Nope.
But everybody tells me that's why I have to go to the chasm tomorrow. Is auto build is you kind of like the recipes. You can kind of save things that you've created as favorites. And then if you have the parts, you can just build it instead of like going through the motion of like getting everything together. And you also get like blueprints as well of stuff you can build. And I'm told, again, I'm assuming Jeff would know more, is that even if you don't have the parts, you can then pay part of it and then build this stuff with the pieces you do have already. And I'm like, okay, like they understand that, like, this is fun, but it also can get tedious if you have to build the same thing like 15 times in a row.
That's smart. Like, nobody wants to like have to build the same rafty boat 14 times in a game. All right. So I know that, you know, Tony talked about fusing stuff to weapons. You guys talked about adding stuff to your arrows to kind of make them special trick arrows, which sounds cool. Like that, and you could do it on the fly. So that makes it a, you know, more useful. Is the weapon degradation the same level? Like, are you going through like 5 swords?
so like the first thing the game does when you get, is it when you get to the actual Hyrule, like out of
the tutorial area,
they point out that every weapon in the kingdom is decaying.
So they've just given like a lore reason.
Yes. Everything is decaying.
They're very specific. Like, I don't know what happened. Ever since the upheaval, like all of our good weapons are just decaying. Yeah. So, you know, like we don't know how to work under the decay. I'm like, okay, that is dumb, but fine. My beef then is like, why are the sky and ground weapons also decaying? Because they've been removed from the upheaval. So, but yes, they very. I will say, and I could be wrong. I mean, I didn't have an issue with the weapon breakdown in general in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like it breaks as quickly.
It doesn't seem to.
And I was wondering, like you mentioned it, I wonder if part of it is that some of it is with like the other Mentos that you don't necessarily make contact. So yeah. Like, the weapons itself isn't breaking. Because I've had a fire bat for like 3 or 4 hours now that I go to. But a lot of times it's just me swinging the bat around to set people on fire.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Like, the other thing is, because of the whole, like, everything you pick up is a rusted broadsword or like a decaying spear or whatever. The weapons all suck. So when they do break, you're like, eh. Like, it doesn't right. feel that you've like, lost something worth.
Yeah. So in Breath of the Wild, like where I'm at right now, right? Like, you pick up a rusted broadsword and like, it makes sense. Like, you're going to fight and it's going to break. But then like, I fought a guardian and it dropped like 2 swords. And I pick up those swords, and it lasts just a little bit longer than the rusted broadsword. Yeah, it's yeah. like, dude, this is like a cool blue glowy sword, and it's glass? Like, it's made of glass?
Yeah. Yes.
And then it doesn't, like, you don't care when they break. And then I feel like because of the fusion stuff, you always want to be like, trying new combinations yes, and like, so because of that, it kind of encourages you. So you're like, all right, well, now I'm going to do this because that one broke.
Yes.
So
yes. And that is kind of where I tend to be. It's like, huh, this weapon. And sometimes it's like, oh, this weapon is like drinking fuel. It's going to break. So let me just drop it. Let me find like, there's some pieces here I can, before I pick up everything, let me see if I can do a new combination and see if it works. And yes, because in my head, I thought, like, oh, fusion would just be like, oh, you know, like, we have certain items you can put on, and it's kind of cool. It's like, wait, can I? Yeah. Like, I put on a great, like one of the greats you pick up to, like, go on, like, you know, that covers something. I put it on the stick. I'm like, okay, this works. I don't know why this works, but it works. A boulder. Somebody's eye. It's just that the exploding barrel. It's like, yeah, anything you want, it goes on. I'm like, okay, I've not found anything. Like, no, like, you can't put a creature on it or anything like that. But like, everything else, you can put a fruit on it, like, and create, like, you can, like, some of the enemies have shock fruits. You put it on, it creates a shock weapon, which is great against those robots. You wanna? I haven't tried it with rupees because they're so rare. I don't want to waste my money.
Yeah, I wouldn't waste. That is the one. I saw Jeff complaining about this, and like, it is hard to find money. I don't know that I would do anything that endangers my jewels or my rupees.
I mean, the positive, I guess, is that there are like 2 or 3 reoccurring side quests that give, like, the guy who has you put up the signs.
The sign guy, yeah.
Yes. And then you'll eventually meet the well woman, and she'll pay you, I think, 10 rupees for every well you find. Yes.
And can you sell weapons, or is it just like
you can sell food, you can sell objects you've picked up, and clothes, but that's it. You can't. I wish you could sell weapons. That's like the because you find so many, and if you were like looking to like farm cash, that would kind of be the best option, but it's not, they don't really do that.
So is there, I mean, I know one of the ways to get like money in Breath of the Wild was like, you would go find like ore deposits, like, so like they have amber and amethyst. And
yes. And that's so far to me still seems like the best way to make money. Cause like, if you find, I think amber or rupee, I think goes for like 100 rupees or something like that. The flip side to that, again, and this is kind of like the economy of the game, is like, some of those are really good weapons. Like, apparently Ruby does really well as like an explosive type weapon.
Oh,
But like, yeah, it's just like, it's a great weapon, but it's also like 100 rupees. So
yeah, there's no way I will ever be doing that.
So yes. On the same note about the weapons, I think another, I don't remember if it's in Breath of the Wild. I don't think it is. Another really quick quality of life adjustment for me is like, if you open a chest and you're full on weapons, it will just let you, like, if you have one, like, oh, I could just drop this and pick up the new one in that one menu instead of like having to go through your inventory and like get rid of it. Or if you don't think it's better, and sometimes that's the case, just press B and you don't take it. So I think that was a nice addition as well.
Have either of you tried the amiibo functionality? Do you have amiibos?
I don't have any amiibos.
I do have amiibos. I haven't tried them. I think it's very similar to Breath of the Wild, and that some of them give you glider skins. I think there's like a tunic that you can get that's unique, but most of the time you'll end up with like food.
So I like, I had kind of stashed all my amiibos away. Because you don't use them for anything, but Breath of the Wild does have them. And the Zelda ones, they drop chests, so there'll be like weapons or shields or bows in them. And then like the normal amiibos, like Mario, Donkey Kong, like they drop food from the sky. So I've been doing that to get some better weapons in Breath of the Wild, as opposed to the rusty swords. Early on.
Yeah, I mean, I might try it tonight just to see, because I have a few. I know I have the Smash Brothers one. I have Link, I got Zelda, I have Tunic. Do I have two Tunics? I guess so. Oh, and then I have three Tunics. I have so many Tunics.
Like the same one three times? No. Or three different Tunics?
Okay, I think two of them are one's Tunic and one's Young Link. I wish that there was those two different characters for some dumb reason. But yes, I have one that's... Okay. I guess I don't have that many Zelda amiibo. More of a Mario man. And then I have Wind Waker Zelda. So I have at least four of them to try at some point. And
one of them, and at least in Breath of the Wild, one of them gives you the horse.
Well, that's
gives you a Pona.
Well, that's the other thing. Is like, if you have your save data on the Switch, or your horses from Breath of the Wild come over.
Oh, right. Yeah, Jeff did mention that like, yes, he rolled up and all of his horses were there.
Which I think is both good and bad. Because I'm just like, why would I tame wild horses then? I have horses that isn't to me and are like 3 stars and like max comfort with me now. Like, yeah, I don't know why I would not take those horses out and not find a random horse that I have to tame and feed and stuff like that.
I mean, it's a matter of, are you like, do you want to bypass that part of the game and just like,
I don't yes. want to, but you gave me the
option. Oh, yeah, they're already there, right? They already put them in there for you, so. Fair enough.
So it's like, yeah, now I go when I want to take a horse out, I'm like, oh, I could take out this horse that's like a 10 overall, or this one that's max. I wonder which one it's going to be. The only one I would not, oddly enough, I don't think I'd take out Epona, because I don't think Epona can... Did you get the harness yet?
No. Oh, in your game.
Yes, I'm asking.
Yes, I have the harness. Yes.
Okay, because so I don't think Epona can wear a harness. I could be wrong, but like, yes, so you can like, you can add something onto your horse, which is really weird when you don't have anything on it, because it's just carrying this wooden block behind it. But whatever. But it's a good way to carry supplies, and it's, you know, that's how I did some of the Karaks, transfer them from point A to point B. So yeah, that's a ton of fun. But yes, my main takeaway for you, or for anybody listening to this, if you, depending on how you felt about Breath of the Wild, my biggest quality of life difference is the fact that the game encourages you to go in specific direction. It kind of gives you a marching order. And I think because they built up NPCs, you also, there's a lot of quests you get along the way as well that are game long quests. I mean, at least in theory, I mean, I know there's people who are just like, I'm just going to do this, I'm just going to do that. Like, I try to get as many towers and shrines as I can, not because I want, but because I like the fast travel.
Right. They make a good, they clearly tell you in Breath of the Wild that, like, the towers are fast travel points.
Yes.
I did not realize the shrines were also fast travel points until last night, you know, after having played a, and I think I played like 15 hours of it originally, and I'm now like 4 hours or so. And I was like, I think I fucked up. I am like way out where I should not be. And I don't know if I can get back. And yeah, you could just pick a shrine and move back to it.
Yeah. And I think they do a decent enough job of kind of pacing them out in a place where it's like, you can kind of, you kind of get somewhere close to where you want to go, or you'll get somewhere and you'll find, like, usually when I get to a town or area, the first thing I do is try to find one of them. So I'm like, I don't, like, again, I don't mind a traversal, but like, you don't necessarily want to constantly do it. So, and then I actually like the towers because, again, like in, I believe Breath of the Wild, I do kind of miss this, but if you're in Breath of the Wild, you have to ascend the towers themselves to activate them.
Yes, you have to get to the top, put your Pika Slate in, and
yes, this one at all. You just go to the bottom and you turn it on. But what it does is it shoots it up into the air.
Yeah,
and then you can get an aerial of the area, and then you can use your guide or whatever to kind of figure out where you're gonna go.
So have you ever died on the way down?
Yes.
Then you have to do it all over again.
Because I keep on forgetting that, like, you probably not wait until the last second to open up your glider. But because, like, because your glider uses stamina, I also don't want to always use it. And then I'm like, sometimes I'm free falling. I'm like, oh wait, you're coming in too fast. But like, yes, you go up, and then because, like, you know, it's divided into the Hyrule. There's the Sky Islands, and then there's the underground. But there's also like a mid layer, which is kind of like the, not necessarily the skies, but like there's little floating islands that you can, and a lot of times that's how you access them, is going up in the sky tower, and then like as you're coming down, you might spot one or two of them, and like you guide over to it. Sometimes, you know, most of the time it's like a chest, or you'll fight an enemy or something like that. And then there is the, what is that? Oh, and then there's wells. Wells and caves. I think I enjoy the caves because I feel like that was the original vision of Zelda in their head 40 years or whatever it was, where it's like you go, like, you know, Miyamoto has always said, like, you know, you wanted to reclaim that childhoodness of like going into a cave and exploring. I feel like it's a very Japanese, because I don't have caves in New York.
Never had a cave anywhere near me.
But yeah, that's what he was always saying. It's like you go in a cave and explore, and not necessarily know what you're going to get. But like that was what. So that's what you do. You find caves, and a lot of them, for the most part, seem pretty straightforward. You don't really do anything but explore. But like you might run into an enemy, you might run into a boss or something like that. Like I said, there was one I ran into the Groom Hands, and as far as I defeated the Groom Hands because that was the one I had the high ground on them, and then Phantom Ganon showed up, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing this today. I'm gone.
Not today, Satan.
Sorry. I am. They're still down there. I will go back one day, and I will defeat those hands, and defeat Ganon, but yes. But yeah, so far, I am having an absolute blast with the game, I think. So
good. Glad to hear Tony's enjoying it, too. We know Jeff is enjoying it, even though he did not join us tonight. I will play it at some point. There's a lot of stuff that I want to play that's out there, but
too many games.
Yeah. Summer's coming. Like, there's Pikmin over the summer. There's that Disney platformer.
and then that's really it. So that'll probably be about around then that I get to it. I'm glad you guys are liking it. We'll hear from Jeff hopefully next week.
I'm still so surprised that he got so drunk on this day when he was so excited to talk about it.
He was too excited. That's what it is. Too much excitement.
It seems that way, yes. next week, though, we will still be... What's our countdown on Gollum, Earl?
What is our countdown on Gollum? I should have this up. But before, I will talk through this, but Gollum will be important. That is 6 days, 14 minutes and 30 seconds as of now. But the big thing we'll have for next week is the PlayStation showcase would have happened. So I'm assuming for an hour long showcase, there will be news out of that.
We'll have that. I will have a Lego 2K Drive.
I'm curious to hear about that.
I don't know. The reviews were iffy, but I read some that's this is doing what I want out of the game. Not sure what other reviews wanted, but the couple reviews, the positive ones I read were this sounds good. So I'm in on that. I will have that for next week. I'll let you guys know. I'm hearing it is a blend of Mario Kart and Forza Horizon. That sounds cool to me.
That does sound like a fun blend.
And then add on that you can actually, there are cars, there are already Lego cars in the game that you can play as, but there's also a full on building mechanic where you can build Lego cars as well. So think nuts and bolts, but with Legos. So it'll work. Nuts and Bolts was a little maybe this will work. I don't know. Everyone knows how Legos work. So you put four wheels on a brick and it'll go down a hill real well. So I'm looking to explore some of that. I will have that for us next week. Unfortunately, I think Gollum comes out after we record. So
no.
We may have to wait on that.
Wait, is it the 25th? Oh, that tomorrow is the 25th. Oh, next Friday, sorry. When is it out? I thought it was the 25th, so it would be out on the Thursday.
Oh, is it out on... If it's out on Thursday, then maybe I will touch it.
Let me just double check. Because, I could have swore... Because it's countdown says 6 days, so that would be...
May 25th, yes. So, Thursday. I don't know why it's releasing on a Thursday. That's weird.
That is a very weird day, yes.
Gollum deserves his own day. It will now be known as Gollum Day. Thursday will no longer exist.
Game is so wild. I'm looking at, some of the artwork for it, and it's this looks... visually, it looks great. But I still don't know what the hell it is.
Even if you play it, you may not know.
But just remember, you have to make sure you get the iconic phrases and emotes. We need to have a rundown of all.
Oh, right. So I need to pre-order it before before then. Let me see. How much is Gollum? How much is the pre-order? With that awesome emotes pack. All right, it's not a $70 game. $60 game.
How can they shortchange Gollum like that? He is worth $70.
I don't know.
You need to buy the game for $60 and then give $10 to charity, because that's what Gollum should cost.
There is a $70 version.
Oh no.
The precious edition for $70. And that comes with the emotes pack, the soundtrack, a digital art book or art exhibition, a lore compendium. I'm struggling with words, and Sindarin voiceover. I don't remember who Sindarin is. Oh, that's just a language. So they, you can have the elves speak Elvish, basically. And wow, the compendium is basically just like the codex. They've added that. You don't get the codex in the game.
Unless you have to buy it.
The $10 more expensive version.
Okay.
But both versions come with the emotes back, so. Wow, this game, I can't wait. This is wild. And that's out the 25th, as Earl said, so maybe. I don't know, we'll see. We'll see if
you have to do it now. You have to do it.
I feel that I've talked myself into buying it. Yes. I just don't know.
if for no other reason than the hilarity that will ensue.
Yeah, it's like, do I use my Microsoft rewards on that and get it at like a discount? Because I was gonna buy Diablo anyway, like. So that was $70 I was going to get anyway. So might as well spend the $25 in
Golem Bucks.
Microsoft points as Golem Bucks. Golem Gold. All right. So maybe Golem next week. Definitely Lego. More Tears of the Kingdom. Hope maybe Jeff.
Who knows?
And definitely the PlayStation showcase, where maybe we find out if Metal Gear and Silent Hill and Castlevania are exclusive to Sony. We'll see. Earl, say goodnight.
Well, from the depths of hell comes one final bell. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time.
Gollum's coming.